Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is Attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
You're locked on Stockton Mortgage Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt. Right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Dan and Mike.
What is that?
It's Kenny Chesney. I figured it was fit.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Tie-in.
Absolutely.
Remember, if you donate to Cram the Van during our show, you will be in a drawing for a Kenny Chesney autographed guitar.
That's pretty cool. I'm in.
Have you ever played a musical instrument?
This is funny. When I was in the second or third grade at elementary school in Dayton, they had music post school.
Oh, everybody played one of those little plastic. What do you call that thing?
A recorder. Well, a recorder.
Recorder.
Yeah, well, they had a everybody that wanted to be part of the band, the elementary school band.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
You know, that's a biggie, right? So I said, well, I'll give this thing a try.
You look like a tuba player.
Well, wait, you're going to love this. You're going to love it. So I told them, yeah, you know, I went in.
Absolutely.
So they assigned a instrument. You'll never guess what I got.
The flute.
No. Oh,
what?
The trombone. They said I had the longest arms in the room, and I had.
That makes sense, actually.
You got to do the trombone. That lasted a year. You know, one school year. That was it. I was not a trombone guy. Uh-huh. You know, not at all.
I wish I could play a musical instrument. I took piano lessons. The organist at our church used to give piano lessons, and I'll never forget this. Her name was Evelyn Pankey. And you would be playing your tune, and she always held a pencil. And if you hit the wrong notes, she'd hit you across the back of your hand with a pencil. And I took lessons, I don't know, 2 or 3 years. And the only thing I can play today is A Hunting We Will Go. I can still play.
Really?
I can still play A Hunting We Will Go on the piano, and that's all I can do. But I wish I had stuck with it. I'd like to play a musical instrument.
I would. I agree with you. I've tried singing in the shower. That doesn't work.
Hey, as long as nobody can hear you, that's all that matters.
That's right.
Well, you know, we think nobody listens to us. But my good friend Ricky Collins, Dr. Ricky Collins, was listening today. And, you know, he took my advice.
Yeah.
He said he called his wife and said, I want underwear for Christmas.
$300 million worth of underwear.
That's all I want.
You're an easy guy to satisfy.
Did you see where Manfred, speaking, we were going to talk basketball, but Manfred, the commissioner of baseball.
Yes.
He has tweeted out something or made an announcement that he thought that this lockout, potential strike, whatever you want to call it, was not a good look for baseball.
You think they're talking about guys, a 38-year-old guy gets a 3-year contract for $130 million, another shortstop gets a contract for $325 million, and it's a bad look? Yeah. Now, there's a man who's on top of it.
What does he make, $40 million a year or something? But he says that this is going to all be settled. He doesn't like the look of it. It's not a good look, but we're going to settle it. I don't know what the heck that means.
Well, remember, Bobby, when was the last baseball strike?
94.
Yep.
And it took a number of years for them to build back up the fan base,
oh,
right?
Yeah. Look, that the 94 season was on track to be one of the best ever. You had Tony Gwynn whenever they went out, he was batting 394, which is the closest anybody's been to getting to 400. Griffey had 50 home runs, you know, up to that point. The Blue Jays were going for their third World Series in a row. They've never been back. So, yeah, the 94 season was cut short, and they have not recovered since, I would argue.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. So they better be careful.
Well, we have promoted our effort here at the with the ESPN Louisville, Cram the Van.
Right.
And the partner in Cram the Van is Focus. The drink,
yeah.
Focus.
Yeah.
And right now, in front of Mr. Issel,
I'm drinking my first can of Focus.
And recommended by Bobby to get the root beer.
Well, but see, he says it's an acquired taste. Not Focus, but the root
beer. The root beer flavor.
Yeah, because I like root beer.
Oh, man. How about a root beer float?
I think the next can of Focus I have will be something else.
That's fair. That's my favorite. It's the one I like the best.
You said cherry is the best.
Oh, that one that's got the cherry flavor, I think a cherry cola or cherry, is really good. But we're out back there.
Yeah, it goes fast. Everybody has their favorite, and they go fast.
Yeah. I'm looking at a blood orange.
Blood orange?
Blood, B-L-O-O-D, blood orange. It's not bad. I've never had it before, that flavor. But my favorite one is the cherry. Oh, yeah. You like a cherry Pepsi or a cherry Coke? I like those. I mean, I don't drink many of them, but I do like those.
Yeah.
I don't think you like those.
Well, I'm not big on sweets.
Yeah.
I don't.
You just devoured cookies in here when they come.
No.
Oh,
now
I save
more for you than
yes,
I
you do.
I will have a cookie once in a while, and I'll have German chocolate cake on my birthday, and that's about it. But speaking of which, didn't Marcia bring in or send in some German chocolate cake?
She did one time.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Have her
make some more?
Yeah.
Well, that was my dad's favorite, German chocolate.
Mine too. That's my favorite dessert. About the only dessert I eat.
My favorite might be a berry pie, cherry, blueberry, raspberry. So I really enjoy those. But anyway, one last shot at Notre Dame. It's not a shot, but it has been rumored, as you said,
yes,
that the leading candidate is Marcus Freeman. Nothing's been finalized, but that'll be what if he takes over, never being a head coach, and I think he's like 35.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah. Isn't that amazing? 35.
They do get into playoffs. What happens? I mean, what does this guy – What do the fans feel about it if he gets in the playoffs? Let's say he wins one game. Doesn't win it all. He's not going to beat Georgia. Just say he wins one game. How cool is that?
They'll build a statue to him.
Yeah. How cool is that?
For him.
Yeah.
Of him.
And he'll get a raise, I bet. I mean, they're throwing
now,
money around.
But listen to this. It looks like the typical for a high profile football coach. It looks like the new bar is 10 years at $10 million a year. Freeman's not going to make that kind of money. He might not make half that money, but that's still going to be a pretty good raise for the young man if he winds up being the head coach at Notre Dame.
Oh, man, I'm telling you what. And you mentioned this earlier about the staff members and players. They are supporting Freeman in his effort to get this job, and I didn't know he played linebacker at Ohio State. I did not know that. And his coaching pedigree: Kent State assistant, Purdue assistant. He joined Luke Fickell's staff at Cincinnati as defensive coordinator, then goes to Notre Dame. But at the bottom of the article, all of this is about Freeman. Bottom of the article, it says Fickell is also the top candidate for Notre Dame head coaching. vacancy. So all that about, and Fickell's still the guy. I mean, if they could get Fickell, they're gonna unload on Fickell. Yes, I do think.
I don't know. It'll be who goes to Oklahoma?
Well, if I'm Freeman, if I don't get the Notre Dame job, I think I try to get the Oklahoma job.
How would you like to be 35 years old? Your first head coaching position is at the University of Notre Dame. That's pretty unbelievable right there.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
That is amazing. But he's been around some other really good programs and paid his dues. And of course, when he was at Cincinnati, he was the D coordinator at Cincinnati for Luke Fickell. So you could go wrong with him. Notre Dame still got the issues with their academic requirements.
Yes.
That leave some guys out.
Yes.
And I don't think they have the cachet, the name Notre Dame, as they once did. I mean, they're not the sexy school to go to now. It's Georgia. It's Alabama.
Yeah. Okay. I agree with that, but it's still Notre Dame.
Well, absolutely. But that used to be like Notre Dame was on a different level,
yeah,
pedestal.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So it's not that way.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk some hoops, man. How about last night, Georgia? And our friend Larry Brown is assisting Penny Hardaway. They've got Duren, and who's the other kid, the young kid from
Bates,
Michigan?
Bates, maybe.
You know,
Bates.
He's from Michigan. He should be a senior in high school. Mm-hmm. And they got a boatload of talent down there, okay? And they go to Georgia, who's 2-4, and lost to Wofford earlier this year.
I can't remember who I saw him play, but they were awful.
Yeah.
In fact, I think I commented the next morning.
You did.
That Coach Crean might be the first guy on the way out as far as college basketball coaches are concerned, because they were terrible. When we get through all of this, the Amazing Eight and all of this, you know, build your resume and tune up games, when we get through all of this crap, the college basketball season is going to be so much fun. So much fun. You looked last night. You have been telling me how good Florida is. And yeah. I'm sure they are. But they go to Oklahoma and get beat. Georgia beats Memphis. North Carolina drills Michigan. I don't know if you watched any of that game.
I watched the half.
After the U of L game, so did I. But that game wasn't close from the very beginning. North Carolina took over immediately. So it's going to be so much fun watching this college basketball season.
In the SEC, something came across while we're on the air that Andy Katz of ESPN, writer, said the Big East and the SEC were the best leagues right now going.
The Big East?
Right now, the Big East. He selected the Big East.
Hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I would have thought it was a Big Ten.
Yeah, me
but,
too.
And I may have misread it, but I don't think so. So what I find interesting about the SEC is this. Tennessee's pretty good. Tennessee is really good. So Villanova beats them on a Friday night. They turn around and beat them handily. They turn around and drill North Carolina the next night. I mean, drill them like, 15, 18 points.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Ohio State. And what? This is to your point that it's going to be interesting.
Oh, it's going to be great.
They go to Xavier and lose. They play Florida, I think, on a neutral floor. Florida beats them. And then they turn around and play at home and beat Duke, who everybody thought was the runaway favorite to go to win the NCAA championship.
Yeah, and they still might be, but there's going to be a lot of upsets along the way.
But I'm telling you, you saw them too.
Yeah.
The Boilermakers of Purdue are going to be a tough
special.
Out. They're going to be a tough
they're
out.
Pretty special. Hey, let me tell you about my friends at Berno's Pizza. There are 14 area locations in Kentuckiana. It's my favorite spot to watch the games. Great food, great drinks, and great people. Berno's now has you covered for lunch or dinner. All Berno's now delivering alcohol, carry out, and delivery to your home. Support your local businesses. Berno's is now hiring all positions. Yeah, it's that good. Berno's Pizza, and we'll be having one in about 1 hour.
That's right. We will be out by Bowman Field.
Bowman Field.
The chicken jet may be waiting for us.
To take us to Florida.
To take us to Florida.
Now, I'm interested in your analysis of U of L last night. I know you watched that entire game. They showed our good friend before the game, they showed Jimmy Valvano's speech again.
And that's so moving.
And I've seen it 100 times and could watch it 100 more times.
I agree.
I mean, he is he's just special. That speech is just special. And then they showed Bobby on the TV last night doing the color for the Cardinals when they were talking about it. But I'm interested to hear, because this is not a vintage Michigan State team.
No.
This might be the least talented Michigan State team I've seen since Tom Izzo has been there.
But their defense is so far has been rated very high on Ken Palm and some other defensive efficiency ratings. I was not impressed with Michigan State at all in New York. I thought, gee, man, like you, this is not a vintage Tom Izzo team. But, boy, they looked a lot better last night.
Than they did in New York.
Oh, yeah, a lot better. I think yesterday I said – U of L's got a real shot to get this game, even mm-hmm. though it was up in East Lansing.
Yeah.
I just don't. Yeah, but they've improved. They have improved. And if you're a Michigan State fan and you follow them and you've got to be happy with the development, I'm not so sure where they fit in the picture in the Big Ten. But
middle of the pack at best.
They made so many turnovers last night. Unforced turnovers. And Louisville's got a nice defense, but unforced.
I laughed at a couple of plays. I laughed so loud that Sherry came in from the other room and wanted to know what I was laughing at. They one of them was, there's 2 minutes to go in the game, and Michigan State's up 13. They get an offensive rebound on a missed free throw. First of all, you should never get a rebound on a missed free throw. I mean, that's just a lack of hustle and effort by the Louisville player. But now, so they've got the ball. They get the offensive rebound. There's 2 minutes left to go in the game. They're up 13. The kid throws it out to Gabe Brown on the perimeter. Now, Mike, my 10-year-old grandson knows in that situation, you either take 30 seconds off the shot clock or you wait for Louisville to follow you. This guy hoists up a three-pointer as soon as he catches it. There's 30 seconds on the shot clock, and he shoots a three-pointer. Izzo immediately takes him out of the game, and you can see what he's telling him. He's pointing up at the clock, and he's talking to him, and the guy's trying to justify. The guy's talking back to him, talking back to Izzo, trying to justify that he took a three-pointer with 30 seconds on the shot clock. And, I mean, it's just I don't know how you can play the game for as long as some of these kids play it and not know what's going on any better than that.
Well, the turnovers for both teams.
Oh, it was awful.
Yeah, and awful. I remember the one, and I'm trying to find the kid's name. He's the hot shot recruit.
Christie. Yeah.
Louisville makes a hoop and they're pressing. They got to, you know, come with their press at the end of the game.
That was the other play that I laughed. Go ahead. That was the other play I laughed out loud at.
They inbounds to him on the sideline.
Right in the corner. Dead in the corner. The worst place on the basketball floor to catch a pass. That's where he caught it.
So his angles to pass are only up the sideline or to the middle.
Or across the baseline.
Well, that's where he was. That's not what, you know.
But that's what he did.
Well, he hit the rim. They trapped him, and he threw a pass and hit the rim.
And unbelievably, it caroms right back to him. Yep. So then he says, well, I'm not going to hit the rim again. And he threw the ball 10 feet over his teammate's head out of bounds. That was the other one I laughed out loud at.
Yeah, that was that one just, I mean, you're sitting there watching the unforced turnovers. And Jay Billis pointed out, and they pointed out continually during the broadcast, the turnovers. And that's Tom Izzo-like team. I mean, usually you can count on their defense. You can count on them not making a lot of turnovers. Yeah. They may struggle at the offensive end. They, you know, may play, you know, a game in the 60s because offensively they may be challenged. But they typically don't turn it over, and they play good defense.
Yeah.
Last night, I don't know how many turnovers they got.
19, I think.
19?
I think they had 19 and Louisville had 16.
Yeah.
If and I'm doing this from memory, but I think Louisville had 16 turnovers and 10 assists. 10 assists and 16 turnovers.
Well, what the odd thing about that game last night, unlike the game between Indiana and Syracuse, where Indiana made a bunch of turnovers and so did Syracuse, they could score. They could turn the other team over, Syracuse or Indiana, and score.
Yeah.
Last night, when Michigan State was making those turnovers, Louisville wasn't shooting the ball. I mean, they couldn't make first half. Their points per possession in the first half was 0.83. Not 1 point per possession. Under 1 point per possession.
Well, in Louisville, I don't want to sound like I'm, you know, jumping on Louisville, because I thought they did some things well. I thought their defense was okay. Their rebounding was okay. But, Mike, they can't shoot. They cannot shoot the ball. They were 7 of 27 from the three-point line. But the one kid, Ellis, was 4 of 7. He played terrific. Ellis had a great game. So if you take him out of the equation, Louisville is 3 for 20 from the three-point line. Now, I was never very good at math, but I think that's about 15%. And you're not going to win any games shooting like that. But I don't know. I was sitting there watching the game, and I don't know if it's that Louisville can't shoot or their shot selection. And, you know, Chris Mack has to have the patience of Job, because there were some shots taken in that game that those kids would have been sitting over there next to me on the bench if I was coaching. I mean, they're taking shots a yard behind the three-point line, and they don't look to go inside. They just pass the ball around the perimeter. I thought Louisville's shot selection was really what cost them the ball game.
Well, I think, yeah, I agree. But I think Michigan State at times defensively forced Louisville deep into the shot clock. And I think because of whatever experience, whatever it may be, when they got late in that shot clock, Louisville took some ill-advised shots. There's no question. But I got to give Michigan State, at times, they were very impressive last night defensively. Very impressive.
Yeah.
Played passing lanes, did some things. Louisville, 16 turnovers, as you said. Only 10 assists on 25 made baskets.
Yeah. That, you know what that tells me? That tells me guys are going one-on-one. And you know, taking some ill-advised shots. If you're only assisting on 10 baskets, then the individual play has taken over.
Well, Michigan State, they have 20 assists on 23 made hoops.
Yeah.
Pretty good. I mean, that's really good.
But now, also remember, they're playing at Michigan State, so the official score may be a little easier, a little more generous with the assists than for the visiting team.
But you know what I always say about assists in this era, and it has been for a while. They give them out like M&Ms at Halloween, man. That's, you know, they just give them out. I mean, you're laughing, but it's the daggone truth.
The reason I'm laughing is because I feel that you're a little anger because of the number of assists you got when you were playing. Do you feel that, Bobby? Is there anger, or not anger, disappointment in Mike's voice when he talks about assists?
No, a little bit.
Yeah, well, you know. It's just amazing sometimes.
I mean, assists weren't even a stat when we were in college, were they?
Some schools did not keep them, yes.
Yeah.
George Uechel, who was the first Bill Keitley, used to sit there and take them and give them out. And so, yeah, It is. The game has changed, you know? The game has changed.
No question.
No question about that. You know, when Oscar Robertson, the legendary Cincinnati player, would get a triple-double, that was a big deal back then. And, you know, I mean, he got a triple-double.
He averaged a triple-double one year.
Yeah.
Was that at Cincinnati or was that with the Royals? I think that might have been with the Royals.
That was with the Cincinnati Royals.
Yeah,
yes.
That
yes.
he averaged it. I mean, that's incredible.
That is
averaged
incredible.
A triple-double.
So where does we know Michigan State is trending upward. Okay.
You think?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I mean, they're just – I mean, it looks like they're a mid-level Big Ten team. Okay.
Yeah.
But they're playing better than they did in New York. That's my only point of reference.
All right.
I didn't see them play in between the game last night in New York.
But now refresh my memory. Last night they played U of L, and in New York they played Kansas?
Kansas, yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Kansas. Well, they were in the ball game for a while. Okay. You are trolling.
No, I wasn't sure. I wanted to make sure it was Kansas that they played.
Oh,
that
I got to have a focus. I got to re-up my focus. But no. Yeah, I mean, look, when you only score, 29 points in one half and you're on the road and the other team, your home team scores 38, you know, it tells you a little bit about your defense.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
So where do you go if you're Louisville? You got some pieces?
First of all, you know, they get their head coach back for the first time in a month. And I didn't realize he could not have any contact with the program. He couldn't even call. Is that right, Bobby? He couldn't even call the assistant coach.
No, he was on full exile.
The day after the game.
He was on an island someplace in the South Pacific, right?
I did hear him during his press conference. He said he got to take the kids to school. He worked out quite a bit. So, I mean, I can't imagine not having any contact. But so he's back, I think with a little better shot selection, well, 15% for the rest of the team under other than Ellis, I guess there's only one way to go. But with better shot selection, they'll be okay.
You know, I think this Louisville team, I'm kind of intrigued by the kid Wheeler, the big fellow.
Yeah.
Wheeler, young guy.
Yeah.
I'm kind of intrigued by him. So they've got some pieces there.
I think that they'll be all right.
I think they got to get more out of Williamson.
I mean, I don't think they're a Final Four team, but I don't know right now if you could pick a Final Four with all the upsets. And
well, I could pick three.
You can? Well, Purdue.
Yes,
Duke,
Gonzaga.
Duke and Gonzaga. Who? Yeah.
I don't know who would be my fourth. That's a fair question. I don't know. Kansas, I'm not sold on them being a Final Four team. I think there's a team out there that can slip in on it.
I'm really looking.
St. Bonaventure. How about they're a good team?
Yeah.
Now, you were impressed with them.
I was talking to my good friend Roger Morningstar in Lawrence last night. I'm getting fired up about my trip to
Lawrence,
to Allen Fieldhouse. I can hardly wait for that.
Yeah, it's a dandy. Well, Vision, everyone has one. That epic cross-country road trip, your dream wedding, that kitchen renovation for churning out next-level entrees, and the folks at Stockton Mortgage can help you achieve your vision. If you're a homeowner, then you may have heard that home values are on the rise in most areas. Take advantage of the historically low rates to refinance your home mortgage to get cash out and finance your dreams. Give the folks at Stockton Mortgage a call today or get started by going online at Stockton.com, NMLS 8259, NMLS ConsumerAccess.org, Equal Housing Lender.
You're locked on Stockton Mortgage Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt. Right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Dan and Mike.
Well, he said he saw the sky is blue, and it's blue here in Louisville,
yep.
Kentucky. It's beautiful day.
Beautiful day.
Beautiful
day. I think it's supposed to get up close to 70 today.
Really?
It? I think so.
Wow. That's walking time for me.
Yeah. Outdoor walking time.
Yeah, man. And the other day I did that, and it was really cool. I mean, it was like 54, 55 and sunny. That was a good day to get out and do a little walking. Trying to get my walking back to where it was before I started this last round of chemo. And
Where do you walk?
I walk in the neighborhood, but sometimes I go to Westport Road to the park there, off Westport Road, Tom Sawyer.
Yeah.
And they've got a really great walking area, and I got some guys there that I have walked with in the mornings. I have not walked in the mornings for a while, but it's good, healthy exercise. And, you know, as long as if it gets 70, people, you could take your shirt off and walk, man.
Oh, I'd pay money to see that.
Well, let's run by one more time, Cram the Van, which ESPN Louisville is supporting. And you can make donations. It's a great cause. And I'm going to let Mr. Issel tell you about that.
Yeah. We're live at Kroger's out in Stony Brook. You can stop by there and make your donation if you're able. There's all kinds of ways that you can make your donation, and the donations will benefit Wayside Christian Mission, the Salvation Army, and St. Vincent de Paul. And anybody who makes a contribution during our show, you've got about 25 more minutes, you'll be in a drawing for a Kenny Chesney autographed guitar. And if I win it, I'm going to take guitar lessons.
Really?
Or as the old boys say, guitar lessons.
It's also V-Week on ESPN, and you've seen a lot of that. And of course, you and I are involved with the KFOV here in, along with Bob Valvano, in Kentucky, and you can donate to that, KFOV.org, and you can help us out in that cause. And again, it's all volunteer, and we've been able to make here locally, been able to make some nice donations and nice commitments to people, and we would appreciate your support.
See, that's what I love. I mean, some of these, and I'm not going to single anybody out, but you know, some of these charities, the people that run the chair, I mean, there's so much being skimmed off the top that, you know, only half of it or less than half of it sometimes gets to where you think the money is getting. But that's what I love about the V Foundation, is every penny passes through to cancer research. That's terrific.
And you and I were talking earlier when they run the speech by Jimmy V, and you know, they had to help him to get up there. They had to assist him up and down.
So yeah.
I mean, he was
hurting.
Yeah, he was hurting. He was deep into this cancer.
Well, I think he passed away like 2 months after that speech.
I can't remember exactly.
Yeah, I think they said last night it was 2 months.
But it's so moving. It is, and you see it this week on ESPN. And if you haven't seen it, you need
absolutely
to see it. It is so moving.
Absolutely. And funny.
And funny, too.
He tells a story about his first coaching position that he mimics the Vince Lombardi. It's he's funny, and you laugh and you cry, and it's quite an event.
Well, you talk about people up making money with the lockout now, okay, baseball lockout. I ask you about the Basketball Players Association. Have a lawyer. She's a lawyer. She's been involved, I think, in some form or fashion with the union previously.
Right.
I wondered what she made, and I also wondered, okay, what Manfred makes with Major League Baseball. And the reason I'm asking, that one of the things that the players want from out of this lockout, they want a larger share of the revenue.
But see, that doesn't make sense to me, because that's how you come up with the cap. In the NFL, the players get a certain percentage of revenue and that's the cap number in the NBA. The players get a certain percentage of the revenue, and that's the cap number. There is no cap number in baseball. So how are they going to how are they going to legislate that?
Well, currently, I mean, yeah, currently the owners get 57 and the players get 43.
But see, that's what I don't understand. How do you know that? Because there's not a number. I mean, that's what somebody has figured out. But there's not, you know, it's not like a guarantee. Like, okay, they want half the revenues. So, you know, what? How do they disperse that? They give everybody across the board an increase, or I don't understand how they can divide up the revenues when there's no salary cap.
That's a fair question. I don't know. I mean, that would take a not only an attorney, would take an accountant and an accounting firm. That's a good question. They want to end the service time manipulation diminish its effect on their earning power, which relates to that minor league situation.
See,
I don't think
the players are off base there. I mean, I remember when the Cubs kept Chris Bryant in the minor leagues for 10 games before they brought him up, so they had an extra year of control. I think I kind of side with the players on that deal.
They've been known to put their young stars in the minor leagues a little bit longer, whether it's 10 days, 2 months, whatever, so they get an additional time that they control that player's contract.
Right.
And they want that, they being the players, want that to end.
Yeah, I think I agree with the players.
By the way, Rob Manfred makes $11 million a year.
Really?
That's all?
That's all.
No, I'm being serious. What Goodell makes like 60, 65 million a year, doesn't he?
I don't think it's that much.
40.
You got it in front of you?
Nope. Just recall, brother. I took my medicine this morning.
Look that up, Bobby. I thought it was in the $60 million range.
Hey, actually, you nailed it. 63.9.
Yeah!
Bingo, little drum roll here.
And you know what he does for $60 million a year? He sweeps issues under the contract.
And gets punched.
Under the carpet.
And gets punched.
Gets
punched, you know, when there's a – it's like Mark Emmert. Mark Emmert's a punching bag. Roger Goodell's a punching bag.
Yeah, I got you. I mean, 60 million. I didn't know. I mean,
look at the situation with the Washington football team with all of the allegations in their front office. What have you heard about that lately? Well, the coach for the Raiders that is suing them because they were looking only. Help me. I didn't take my medicine either.
I can see
Gruden.
Now.
Yeah, Gruden. Gruden, what have you heard about that lately? That's all Goodell gets paid for. To keep the negative information about the NFL out of the press. That's what he gets paid for.
And you know what? He's really freaking good at.
He is. Yes, he is. That's why he makes $63 million a year.
He is. He's really good. And I think your guy in the NBA is good, too. He's a tap dancer.
Adam?
Yep.
Yeah.
He's a tap dancer.
Well, he learned from the best.
Oh, yeah.
He learned. And I've said this before. In the history of professional sports, there has never been a better commissioner than David Stern.
I appreciate your thought. Roselle was
best.
Pretty good.
He is David Stern. When David Stern took over the NBA, those franchises were worth about $2 million apiece. And in a lot of markets, the NBA finals weren't even on live television.
Yep.
And during his course, he took the league from there to being one of, outside of the NFL, the most popular league in pro sports. David Stern is the best.
Well, there you go. He said it before. He's backing it up. What do you think Brian Kelly does at LSU? Do you think that's a – I mean, you know, this guy's been a Midwest guy.
I think he coaches football.
No, yeah. He's a Midwest guy. Okay? He's a Midwest guy. That's where he's coached, Central Michigan. I think he was at Akron as a grad assistant, at Cincinnati, and at Notre Dame. I mean,
do you find it interesting that his, of course, his defensive coordinator wouldn't go because he's got a shot? It sounds like it's all but done that Freeman's going to be the next head coach at Notre Dame. But the offensive coordinator doesn't go with him. I don't know how many staff. Do you find that interesting? I do.
I read someplace.
I do.
And maybe you read it too, that he's a very difficult guy to work for.
Really?
Yeah. I read that. And a couple of examples of things he did. He had a Christmas party, I understand, and he had a couple low-level assistants and asked them to come to the Christmas party, okay?
Where'd you dig this up?
And so they said, they're going, I'm going to the head coach's Christmas party.
And it was like Coming to America. They wound up being the valet parkers.
They did. Yeah, that one, you read it too, didn't you? I mean, man, oh, man. What a guy you got to work for. You know what I mean? I mean, jeez.
Before you told me that, I thought it was a stand-up guy the way he just left Notre Dame and left Cincinnati. He's, you know, he comes off as a great dude anyway.
Have you seen what they're going to pay him at LSU? I have not.
Yeah, it's kind of convoluted because there's all kinds of excuse me. There's all kinds of bonuses, and he gets $500,000 when his team becomes bowl eligible. I mean, even as bad
half a million,
even as bad as
man, that's the easiest $500,000 there ever is.
Focus is tearing you up, isn't it?
No, it was laughing that was tearing me up.
I was gonna say.
He gets $500,000 for a longevity bonus. What is that?
$500,000
for, I guess, if he stays every year he stays, he gets another $500,000. But
what's his buyout, I wonder?
Well, I don't know.
Let me look into it.
I mean, you better put a big buyout. This guy will be walking out the door after a year.
He'll be going to Oklahoma.
Jeez. But that's going to be very, very interesting, him at LSU. It seems like an odd fit. It could work. But
well, he certainly isn't Go Tiger. Hey, he's going to be a little different than Coach O.
And I will guarantee you, Coach O will get a lot of his money. There may be a hook in there that if he takes another job, he doesn't get it. But he's going to get back in coaching someplace. Maybe a smaller, lower-level school than LSU, okay? But he'll get back in coaching.
Yeah. Well,
he's a lifer. He's been a lifer. 60 years old. He's been a lifer. I think it's very hard for those people to walk away from whatever sport they're coaching. So,
Is this show almost over? Because I'm dying.
Yeah, I'm going to hit the music in like 90 seconds. By the way, also on Brian Kelly's deal, he gets two courtesy vehicles or two vehicle allowances to the amount of $1,000 a month. And he also gets an interest-free home loan of up to $1.2 million for 20% price, the price of the home.
No, wait a minute. Run that by me again.
Okay. An interest-free home loan of up to $1.2 million of 20% the price of the home.
Did you say the other day you were telling me about who was on the private jet for Lincoln Riley going to L.A.?
Yeah.
His family wasn't on it? You said
no,
it was...
No, they were going over... No, it didn't say anything about a family. It talked about three or four assistants, of which one of them was his recruiting coordinator.
Right, right.
And now, how many guys have jumped ship from Oklahoma? Quite a few. Another one just
You're talking about their commitments. They're all leaving.
I guess Oklahoma had done a nice job of recruiting Southern California or California, and those kids were from California.
The reason I ask you about his family being on the private jet going to California is because when his wife gets out there and finds out for what they could afford a mansion for in Norman, Oklahoma, they can have a double wide in Calabascus when she gets out to L.A. She'll be.
But at least there won't be dirt roads, okay? So you know what? You give and you take a little bit.
They bought him a $6 million house.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, they bought him a $6 million house.
Well, that's a ranch. In Laguna Beach. I mean, that's
a renovation project.
Yeah, $6 million isn't much in L.A.
Well, he's going to have a lot of fun. He's going to have no problems. And I guarantee you, he'll bring SC back.
Yeah.
In a weak league, he's going to have them back.
You're probably right. You're probably right. Well, don't forget to cram the van, everybody. If you can. Make sure that you go online. The easiest way, Bobby, instead of telling everybody all the ways they can contribute, just go on ESPN Louisville. Yep. Go on our website, and it'll put you in the right place.
Great cause. Wonderful.
We're gonna go have a Bear-Nose Pizza for lunch, and we appreciate everybody listening. This has been Sports Talk with Mike Pratt and Dan Issel, brought to you by Stockton Mortgage. Have a great day, everybody.
Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases, tuition free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.